Hello and welcome to Cooper Talks USA. And in this episode, I'm going to be talking about caucuses, what they are, the positives and negatives of them. Now, to begin with the basics, a caucus is effectively a type of election, a means of making a selection that's used in American politics to select delegates from certain states, which will go on to the national conventions to select the presidential candidate for a party. So they're party-based votes, effectively. The caucuses are different from primary elections because in a primary vote, you just go in, you get given a ballot paper, and you make a selection on that ballot paper, just as you would in a regular national election. However, with caucuses, things are quite different. For a start, rather than an individual vote, they are more community-based selections. People from a local area will meet in a designated place at a designated time to discuss the merits of the various candidates before making their selection. So it might be in a community centre meeting at 7 p.m. on a given day. And that will happen all across the state. So it's not just a vote. There's this discussion element. And that's important to remember, that caucuses are a discussion forum where the merits or negatives of particular candidates can be expressed and the community can debate what would be in their community-based interests. Another factor within this, because it's a discussion forum, it means precinct captains, as they're sometimes called, or basically party activists or campaigners who are members of the local community, are able to directly influence other voters as they're making the decision, and they can even persuade people to change their minds, to vote for other people. This is great on the one side for an educative function. It allows people to be more informed and to be persuaded of the merits of a candidate, but of course it then puts pressure on people when they vote and you lose the sense of a secret ballot. Now, in some way, shape or form, there are about 14 states in the USA that use caucuses either for both parties or one party will have a caucus. It's also worth bearing in mind that many of the territories of America, places like Guam and American Samoa, also use caucuses for their nominations to the party conventions. Now, typically, not always, but typically, caucuses are held in small population, small rural states. So places where communities might not often come together, but also where you're not going to have huge concentrations of a population. So it's much more local. Some states have actually started adopting caucuses because they're actually cheaper to run and administer than primaries. So some parties in some of the states actually do them as a cost-saving measure. Because you have this discussion element and you can have several rounds of voting, there's usually a big time commitment to caucusing. And once you're there, you have to stay. You can't go off and leave. So you have to be there throughout the time. Now, it could be done, depending on the number of people and the way it's run. It could be done in about half an hour, but it could take several hours, 3-4 hours in an evening. And as a result of that big time commitment, people are effectively discriminated against if you work during the time. So if you work at night, or if you can't get there because you lack transportation, you don't drive, you don't have a car or something like that, or because you finish work late and you don't have time to get to the venue, or if you have children and you can't get a babysitter or someone to look after them, or if you've got other commitments, then effectively you're excluded from the process. And as a consequence, turnout is usually low in caucuses. And those that do turn out tend to be more elderly, those who don't have as many evening commitments. And that can create a problem with the type of people that are voting in caucuses. Now, of those 14 states that hold them, the most famous is going to be the Iowa caucus, not because it's a caucus, but because it is the first vote in the land in America when it comes to choosing a president. So its result has significant impact on the rest of the election race. The other main caucus, again, because it's quite an early event, is the Nevada caucus. But some of the other states would include places like Hawaii, Alaska, Maine, Utah, Idaho, Wyoming, North Dakota, Kansas, Nebraska, Washington State as well. These are, again, generally rural, large geographic states, but with relatively small population density. So, what are the negatives of the caucus system? Well, there's quite a few criticisms about them. The main one being the low turnout. Now, I mentioned this occurs because of the time commitment. It's not as simple as just going and marking a ballot and off you go, which might take 2 or 3 minutes. It's a commitment for several hours in an evening. As a result of this, few people actually go to them. Now, as a good little example of this, in 2012, the average turnout for Republican primaries, that's all caucuses and primary votes that were held throughout the months of the nomination campaign, was about 19%. Do bear in mind, that's just for the Republicans. So they tend to have low turnout anyway, primary election campaigns. But of course, you're excluding quite often many of the Democrats who aren't going to go and vote necessarily in the Republican primary. So overall, turnout for the Republicans in 2012 during the primaries was 19%. But for the caucuses, the average turnout was only 3%. So only 3% of a state's population typically goes to vote in the caucuses, and yet they are selecting that state's party's delegates. And those state party delegates can have a huge influence in determining who is going to be the Democrat or Republican candidate, and therefore who's going to become president. So again, there's a big question mark, a big negative about the low turnout with caucuses. The time commitment, as I've said, that leads to the low turnout, but that is a big negative. There are very few people that can really commit that much time to the to caucusing, to going along and spending 3 hours debating and discussing. Remember, you can't leave throughout all this, so it tends to exclude a lot of generally sort of middle class to working class people who are working evenings, the young who haven't got transportation, or those with commitments like children. They tend to be more excluded from the process. The other big issue with caucuses is they can be fantastically confusing in terms of how the process works, how you vote, who you're going to stand by. No two states have the same process in the caucus. Now, typically what would happen is you would arrive, everyone would be locked in the room, so to speak. Typically you then have a first vote, so people would go and stand in groups by a precinct captain identified as a supporter of a particular candidate, or maybe under a poster. But they go and stand there and they count them up, and then depending on the minimum threshold that is required for a candidate to be viable, so they might say, right, you need at least 5% of the caucuses in order to get a delegate or for the vote to be counted. So there'll be a threshold put in. Any candidates that haven't reached that threshold, they can then be appealed to by those candidates still in the running, and they can change their minds and they can be brought over and other people will switch. And this whole process can be quite confusing, can be quite intimidating for people. But also, people aren't always sure where to stand, and some people end up sort of wandering off to speak to a friend, but then they get counted in the wrong groups. There are different rules depending on where you happen, and that confuses a lot of people, and they think, well, what's the point? I don't really understand it. And so they, again, affects turnout. It also means you sometimes end up with people voting not the way they intend. The other problem to a degree with caucuses is that you need to have those dedicated precinct captains. Now, they do need to be people from the local area, but it tends to reward candidates who can whip up excitement and really engage and enthuse hardcore activists who are prepared to really go and fight their corner. Now, in 2016, the two candidates that really were able to whip up popular support were Bernie Sanders and Donald Trump, and it's no surprise that those two tended to do really well in caucuses. But that is a negative because it's not necessarily the best way for making an informed political decision. And it gives someone who's able to excite populist passions a much greater chance of success than someone who's more measured and nuanced, more middle of the road, if you like, which is probably good politically, but it's not going to enthuse or get people very excited. So people like your Marco Rubios, your Jeb Bushes, your Hillary Clintons, they're not going to succeed as well in caucuses. Even if we go back to 2008, Obama was able to succeed in caucuses, notably the Iowa one, because he enthused the young, got the young turning up to vote, and really passionate, dedicated precinct captains. It does tend to suggest it's about who's popular, not who's best qualified to run. The other problem with the whole caucus process is it is open to manipulation and abuse. This is a party nomination process. So it's up to the party to pick or decide who is running the show and who's actually counting them up and how delegates are going to be awarded. And that means delegates can be miscounted or inaccurately recorded. The turnout figures can be questioned. There's very little scrutiny and oversight. And of course, because there's nothing written down, you can't exactly have a recount. And it's whether people count because they've left early or they've left late or what's going on. So it is open and certainly has been accused of party manipulation. I'll come to that with some case studies a bit later. And of course, the final negative I'll talk about here is the lack of a secret ballot. You are standing there in front of your neighbours, your friends, your family, and you're making a declaration. And if you have views that are perhaps at odds with your local community, you might be intimidated and decide basically not to vote that way. You might go with the crowd rather than voice your personal opinion for fear of losing friends. And in a particularly partisan era of American politics, it can affect the way people vote. People don't want to be cast out or shunned by their community for voting for someone who the community doesn't support. And that is a problem in a modern functioning democracy. So all of these seem to undermine the democratic principles. Now, I mentioned a little while ago that one of the negatives, is that the whole process of caucuses is open to manipulation and abuse. Now, it is a party system, but just to give you a couple of examples from 2016. In the state of Wyoming, the Democrats had a caucus there, and Bernie Sanders won it with 56% of the vote, those that turned out to vote. Hillary Clinton got 44%. Now, most caucuses award delegates in some degree of proportional representation based on votes in counties or districts and all those things. Each state is different, I will stress that. But you'd look at that and say, well, Bernie clearly won that, got a much higher percentage than Hillary Clinton, therefore clearly Bernie has more delegates. However, the way that the party system had set it up meant that Bernie only got 7 delegates while Hillary got 11 delegates. And although it wasn't out-and-out corruption, the party had set it up in a way that would be favourable to Hillary. And she lost the popular vote, but won the most delegates from Wyoming. And for those that were critical of the Electoral College result with Donald Trump, they might want to think about that. Another example would be on the Republican side in Louisiana, which Trump won, beating Ted Cruz by 3.6%, so a narrow win, but still a win. And yet, much to Donald Trump's anger, he was informed that Cruz actually could get up to 10 more delegates than Donald Trump. So you've got this bizarre system where the people vote in a caucus, but the way they're votes are translated into delegates isn't reflective of that vote. It's not just wrong or unproportional, it's actually just unfair in many ways. And that creates a big problem with the whole system. And again, another little stat just to remember. Trump famously won Nevada big. He got 45.9% of the vote in the Nevada caucus in 2016. But it's worth bearing in mind that only translates to 2.5% of the population. So again, an example of the negatives there. Basically, Trump was chosen by Nevada and got a big sweep of their delegates, but he was only chosen by 2.5% of that population. So you've got an activist, vocal, extreme minority influencing or basically making their decisions at the expense of a silent and passive majority. And again, that's questions about the legitimacy of the whole democratic process. Now, having dwelt a bit on the many negatives and criticisms of the caucuses, it's worth bearing in mind that there are any number of positives. The first one is it does create a sense of community. Now, you're not, it's worth remembering, you're not voting for a political office. You're voting for a party delegate. And as such, it's not quite the same, although it does become important, it's not quite the same as voting for an elected office. And in that sense, caucuses can serve a valid function in bringing a local community together with a chance to discuss what's important to them, their views, and who can best represent them. And in those sparsely populated states, it's a good way of getting people who might not see each other very often together to share common interests and to discuss things. And in that sense, it's actually quite a positive, reinforcing a community identity as well as promoting discussion. The fact that it's a deliberative process can lead to better informed and educated decision making. You discuss what's best for the community, you discuss what the candidate's strengths and weaknesses are, and come to an informed collective decision. And again, that would be brilliant in a democratic system. On top of that, caucuses do promote engagement and active participation. In order to take part in a caucus, you have to fully commit and engage with the whole political process. It's far more than just going in and randomly putting a cross next to someone's name. You are engaged in the process, therefore you have active participation, and you're really informed in making the decision. Unlike in, say, primary elections, where you just go and put a cross next to someone's name. Or in America, you get a machine to punch a hole in it. In education, it's the education function also fills in. Someone might go in there thinking, yes, I'm going to support this candidate, but then realise, actually, I don't agree with many of their policies. There's this other candidate that's much better. So in that sense, it can be beneficial. And again, it forces campaigns and candidates to focus on local ground networks, as they're called. So you've got to get your local activists there. You've got to engage ordinary people to go and campaign on your behalf. You can't just pay people. If you do, it's going to cost billions to get enough people there and to be genuinely enthusiastic. So it forces candidates in caucus states to really listen to the people and try and come up with policies and things that are going to excite them and engage them and get them to persuade other people. And in that sense, it forces people who might be considered Washington insiders to actually go and talk to the people and get a feel for what's going on. And arguably, that's what Trump and Bernie Sanders did. They listened to the people, and that's what created the buzz and why they were so successful in caucuses. Whereas in primaries, which didn't require such focus on the ground networks, they did less well. Certainly Bernie Sanders did. Now, there's also, so those are kind of the positives that you can get out of the whole caucus system. And of course, you can throw in there the fact that it is a lot cheaper to run and maintain than a primary vote would be. There are some more general issues that are just worth considering. Okay, one is that there is no coherent system. Every party, well, both the main parties and each state that has caucuses have them in very different ways. They operate differently, so there is no set rule. You can, and I'd say for those of you doing A-level, If you get a question about caucuses, the first thing to say is no two caucuses are identical. You cannot have say this is exactly how every caucus will work. As with all primary votes, some of the caucuses are binding. Those delegates have to go and vote for a particular candidate. But in others, they're ignored. They are merely advisory. And again, that raises questions about the whole point of having a caucus. Why give up 3 or 4 hours to go and caucus for something that effectively could be ignored by the power brokers? We've seen that in places like Mississippi, which has advisory caucuses, and they not Mississippi, sorry, that has an advisory primary, and no one goes to it. So that's a problem. You also have the issue that decisions are rarely clear and they can be altered. And again, I've got a couple of examples of that I'll give you shortly. But even if you think you've won a caucus, you can find that shortly afterwards you didn't win it. You actually came second or third, and that can have a big impact on the delegates. An example of that, I'll give it to you now, would be Iowa in 2012. So who actually won that? Well, all the press the day after the Iowa caucus was that Mitt Romney had won the caucus by 7 votes for the Republicans. And he got all the publicity, he got the press, he got the momentum going into New Hampshire. But then, a couple of weeks later, they recounted out the submissions and sort of did some maths, apparently. And it turned out that actually Rick Santorum had won by 23 votes. So Romney was originally the winner, but then they recounted and said, oh, no, actually, now it's Rick Santorum, even though they've got no paper to count. So it's not clear what they were counting. But then they had a state convention a few months later and decided that they'd send all their delegates to represent Ron Paul. So who actually won the Iowa caucus? Romney got the publicity. Santorum technically in the end won the most number of votes, but the delegates went to Ron Paul. So it's not at all clear, and that alienates people. And if it wasn't that Iowa was first, it would probably dissuade people from actually going and voting. And again, although caucuses are cheaper than primaries, they are still expensive in terms of time and they cost money to run. And again, you have to question if they're not going to be listened to and they don't really serve a purpose, what is the point of them? Because ultimately, as with primaries, in a caucus, you are not voting, you're not actually voting for the presidential candidate. You are choosing a delegate who will choose the presidential candidate. So, and just to give you an example of this one, it's a bit convoluted, but bear with me. You end up with this very complicated state-based party system. So back in 2016, the Democrat caucus in Nevada. Now you had the original caucus early on, I think in February, which Hillary won. So Hillary actually won that one, but that only allocated 23 out of Nevada's 35 Democratic delegates. So she got 23. The other 12 were going to be decided by delegates to the state convention. So she's got 23 delegates for the National Democratic Convention, but the other 12 delegates will be decided at the Democrat State Convention in Nevada. Now, those state convention delegates were chosen by delegates at the county conventions, Democrat county conventions across Nevada. Those county delegates had actually been chosen in the original February caucus. So we're sort of going through a long question of actually you're picking delegates to pick delegates to pick delegates who pick delegates. And of course, Hillary won that. But the problem was many of the pro-Hillary delegates who were elected for the state the county conventions didn't turn up. But the Bernie ones did. So the Bernie ones turned up. They then got to influence how many delegates were sent or how many Bernie delegates were sent to the state convention where they're going to pick the other 12 delegates. The Hillary campaign suddenly clocked onto this. So they sent a load of delegates, or they made sure all their delegates turned up for the county, for the state convention, which meant that roughly Bernie Sanders and Hillary delegates were equal at the state convention, at which point they then try and get their rival delegates disqualified by saying they weren't registered as Democrats or they hadn't attended a particular meeting. And they're just going through trying to disqualify them from voting. All of these to pick 12 delegates to go and pick whether Bernie or Hillary should be president or the presidential candidate for the Democrats. It's utterly confusing. It's so complicated. And that whole faffy process just undermines any faith in democracy. Because the bottom line is Hillary won the Nevada caucus. You'd assume Hillary would get, if not the majority of the delegates, she'd at least get proportionally more delegates. And yet you get this whole convoluted process of party political games and intra-fighting that undermines confidence in the whole process and led the Bernie side to accusing the Clinton side of cheating and of corruption and of manipulating the vote. And Trump was doing exactly the same on the Republican side, criticizing it all. So basically caucuses and the whole party system where caucuses are used undermines faith in the whole democratic principle. And it's just a great big convoluted mess. Now, while there's no evidence that there was actually any clear corruption, it doesn't look good. And that's the main problem with caucuses. You've got low turnout. The early caucuses in particular have disproportionate influence. But in the end, it becomes a set of intra-party fighting that undermines confidence in the whole democratic process. And while it's fascinating for political geeks like me to watch it and learn about it and see all the mess and fighting, it is not good for the American political system when the stakes are so high. So those are the issues with caucuses, a bit about how they work and the positives and negatives. For those of you that are doing A-levels, bear that in mind as a possible short answer type question. And for the rest of you, I hope you've got something out of that and are at least a little bit clearer about what caucuses are. If you're not, though, don't worry. That's probably the message to take away, that caucuses are fantastically difficult to understand, and that's why people don't go to them. And on that positive and uplifting note, I shall leave you for this episode. But join us again, please, for another episode of Cooper Talks USA in the near future. Thank you and goodbye.